If you will, Ephesians chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter number 2. I was thinking of a chorus today. I don't know, we probably did this for a chorus in the month, last month or next month. What's our chorus next month? And look at the schedule. You know? We're going to do a chorus now. I think you know it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Did I turn this on, Jeff? Are we on now? All right, we're on channel number 33, I think. Okay, I came across it. I think we put it in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. I think it was D.L. Moody that pointed this out. I tried to write it down by memory. About Moses' life. Moses' life can be divided up into three sections. He spent 40 years thinking or learning that he was somebody. And then he spent the next 40 years learning that he was nobody. And then the final 40 years, he spent learning what God can do with a nobody. God help us to be a nobody. And by the way, you look at Moses' life, he was still struggling with his flesh, even in those last 40 years, because he still thought he was somebody. I want to give tonight somewhat of a... we had Thanksgiving testimony Sunday night, and I was going to actually add five or six of them I wanted to give, and I'm going to give one of them, I guess, tonight. My wife had a birthday yesterday. I'll have one next week. I'm going to be 61 years old. I love telling that to people after they talk to me for a while and they try to guess my age. But I embarrassed somebody the other day. But this is the 1 week a year when she's, I won't tell you how old she is, but this is the 1 week she's only 2 years younger than me. But next week she'll be 3 years younger than me. But I was thinking of that and our anniversary year coming up, anniversary for our church, 165 years. It's going to be a big year this coming year. There's three anniversaries every 5 years. We recognize it's every 5 years. They're corresponding. It's our 165th, I believe, for the church. My 30th year here as a pastor and our 40th wedding anniversary. Those are more for us than anything. But it made me think about a few things. Last couple of weeks, and spending some time alone with God for a couple of days last week, and thinking of some dear men that we lost this year, Brother Dewey. I still haven't got used to not seeing him on Sunday morning. And Brother Jim, still haven't got used to not seeing him. Pray for Janelle. I'm glad she flew yesterday instead of today with this wind and stuff, but she's out in California. As far as I know, she got there okay, out with Chad and his family. And then visiting this past week, because I stopped by once in a while to Mabel John's. I think I mentioned that Sunday. And as the Bible calls the feeble-minded, and all you can do is comfort them. And to look at her and to think that, and I know a lot of you wouldn't even know who she was, but don't feel bad, she doesn't know who she is either. And it's just such a sad thing to see somebody in that state, in that condition. And so something that none of us hope that we will ever go through ourselves, but there's a lot of people that do. My heart goes out to her, and I just can't help but cry my eyes out every time I go see her and to think of what she once was. And then yesterday, spending some time with Chet and Lorraine and with Dorothy, let God use you while He still can. There's going to come a time when our days are over. And I got thinking of a number of things, and actually this verse comes to my mind often, Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. This whole chapter is so good. It's such a great chapter to meditate on. I decided this year I'm going to This will be my next chapter. I'm going to commit the entire chapter to memory. So I'm going to start working on that. Actually started already this week. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I love those two words when you see them together, but God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that's the New Testament and the Old Testament, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Won't it be a wonderful thing when we all get to heaven? The saints of the Old Testament, the saints of the New Testament, the tribulation saints, the millennial saints, all get together around the throne of God for all eternity. I just want to look at and give you, I guess, a testimony and share some thoughts with you I hope I can be a blessing, and I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be about Jesus Christ. But we said that we can outline the life of Moses in three 40-year segments. I hope I don't live as long as Moses did. In fact, I hope my days are numbered. I'm going to mention that in a little bit. But I want to look. I just look back this week at my life in 20-year segments. I just turned, I'm a little slow learner, so I'm going to be 61, so I should have learned this a year ago. So, and these are roughly speaking, the first 20, I would say this, first of all, the first 20 years, I thought I was important. I thought I was important. I lived my life the way I wanted to live my life. You know, I'm glad, these young people, I'm glad I grew up before the era of self-esteem. I'm glad that you didn't have to have somebody patting you on the back all the time, telling you how good you are, and that's just compounded all our troubles today. When I was a kid, and I've shared this before, I ran, as far as schoolwork was concerned, I was just talking to some of the parents the other night, about third grade, I ran into a block wall. That's as far as I'm going to go. From that time on, I was told, you're slow. You're not a good student. Some teachers, and again, this is before the days of self-esteem. Some teachers even said, you're just stupid. That's what you are. Today, of course, we'd say you've got learning disabilities. And I just decided, and I was of the popular opinion that that's just the way it would be. When I was a teenager, those who knew me said they just happy-go-lucky. You really don't care about anything, do you? No, not really. All I care about is just being happy myself. And I was filled with insecurity and learned to hide behind all the hurt through a sense of humor. But I'm grateful that God brought me through that valley. Amen? Grateful that God got me out of that. In fact, I'm grateful as we're going over the Beatitudes on Wednesday night with the adults. The first Beatitude is what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. A lot of folks are never poor in spirit, and therefore they'll never get saved because they think they go through their whole life thinking that they are somebody, that they think that they're important. I knew before I was saved, I'm really nobody. But I thought I was important. But then the next 20 years of my life, of course, I met Jesus Christ, my Savior, when I was 19. The next 20 years of my life, I learned, really, I thought I was important the first 20 years. I thought it was all about me. Do whatever you want to. Do whatever you think or whatever you feel. But now I learn that I'm nothing. That I'm nothing. When my world crashed, I'm glad that I met the Creator of the universe, His name, Jesus Christ, and transformed my life. It made me realize it's not about me. It's not about what I think and what I feel, but it's about Jesus Christ. I learned to not just care about myself, learn to care about others. Learn to love and walk with God in the desert places. Learn how to read with comprehension. That's a hurdle that the teachers all gave up on when I reached third grade. That's about as far as I could read. But I decided it's not going to be easy, but with some discipline and a walk with God, I'm living proof you can learn to read. Now, when your eyes go bad, you have a little trouble again, but it's never easy. And sometimes I say that because God can do something the experts can't do. And God brought me through something that I won't go any farther than that. But I learned to study the Word of God. And I'm grateful again that God gave me reading disabilities when I was younger because that made me work harder at it. Learn to study doctrine. Learn to build conviction in my life. What it was to have faith in God. I learned to see things through God's perspective rather than through my own little window of understanding. As in Bible college, I remember a teacher always talking about going to the old school. And he was an old preacher. And of course, when he would have been in school, it would have been before the college existed that we were attending. And somebody finally raised their hand one day and said, what was the old school that you keep talking about? He says, the school of hard knocks is what it is. Someone went to the old school of hard knocks. And I look at great Bible characters, and I don't classify myself with them, but I look at the way God educated great men of the Bible. Or look at Moses. We already mentioned him. Spent 40 years in the wilderness before God could begin to use him. David spent many years hiding from King Saul. Even though God crowned him to be the next king, God gave him great victories and God gave him the great promise, but he spent years living in caves and hiding, raising a band of rebels to help him to exist as he's hiding and running and fleeing from the king. And look at Isaiah, who learned how to live for God, and really God began to work in his life when all the comforts and all the securities that he knew as in his younger days were taken away from him. Look at Daniel, that lost everything that he knew, his family, his home, even his home language, his home culture, everything was taken away from him just like that. He became a POW, a prisoner of war. And then God could start to use him. I look at men like Peter that spent 3 years in training under the hands of, under the foot of Jesus and completely failed his final exam. And I look at Paul. You know, we're going over that in Sunday school in our adult class. We read through the book of Acts and we don't put the connect all the dots together, and it looks like when you're just reading through the book of Acts that Paul gets saved one day and he's going out preaching the next day. There was a 3-year period where he disappeared. He says that he spent 3 years in the wilderness of Arabia. What did he do there? He learned to have a relationship with God. He learned to walk with God. He learned again that he was nothing. And all these men had to go through that time so they could learn that they were nothing. And they found a cause to live for that's bigger than themselves. One of our young men gave testimony back the other night. And anybody who wants to be used of God will understand this. I've got family and friends that still to this day can't understand this. They could understand someone giving their life to build a career or to make a living or to live the American dream. They could understand that. They could understand maybe giving your life for an environmental cause. I've got family members that have done that or doing that. They could understand giving your life for a political cause or maybe for a military cause. And certainly there are many that have done that. The world could understand those things. They can understand giving your life to educate, for an educational cause, or maybe to be a doctor for the medical science cause. They can understand, the world can understand that, or for some humanitarian cause. They can understand maybe going to a different far region of the world to teach people how to live more humane. They can understand that, but many family and many even Christian friends can't comprehend the value of living for the cause of the gospel and the biblical Christian service of giving your life for the cause of Christ. The world will never understand that, and few Christians will ever understand that. I came to the realization when God taught me that I'm nothing. Came to the realization I shared often, and some folks never quite get this, I deserve nothing. I am no one, and I know nothing. And no, I'm not Sergeant Schultz, all right? I don't know anything, and I am nobody. Two verses I used to claim as my life verses in the early days of my life. One's in John 15 and the other one's in Philippians 4. A lot of folks like the one in Philippians 4, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But before we can get to that one, we've got to go through John 15 and verse number 5 says, Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, but without him I can do nothing. For the next 20 years of my life, I learn that I am nothing. And by the way, I still haven't completely learned that. 10 years training in the ministry and then 10 years in the ministry realizing that all my training, as good as it was, didn't prepare me for the ministry. And that included 10 years here as a pastor of this church. And I say often that I was here for 10 or maybe 20 years before I'd be like, now I'm ready to be a church member. But let me say the next 3 years, the first 20 years, I thought I was important. The next 20 years, I learned that I'm nothing. And the third 20 years, I learned to serve. I'm still learning. And by the way, every day I wake up and I'm amazed that God could use a sinner like me. I'm amazed, to be quite honest with you, that God lets me breathe His air every day. Huh? I'm amazed that He keeps His heart beating. Because I know how sinful I am. And I know how holy He is. And every day I try to learn a little bit more of that. And I'm just amazed at the grace and the goodness of God. And I've learned that all of us are sinners, and I'm no better than anybody else. But in the last 20 years, I've learned to pray and to love people no matter how hard it hurts. And of course, we always learn that, but I can say that that's been the emphasis in the last 20 years. People will always expect the impossible, and people will always be impossible. Huh? That's just people. And, well, I just can't deal with it. They're people, all right? People struggle with their pride. All of us do. And the ones that don't think they do are the ones that have the biggest struggle with it, because they're not only struggling, they're defeated by it. People struggle with their prejudice. People struggle with their bitterness, their self-righteousness, their unforgiving, their personal agenda. It's just called our human nature. That's who we are. That's what it is to serve God. And I'm nobody. In fact, I read often trying to, and I'm the most unworthy person in the world to be a Christian, let alone a pastor. And I try to spend a lot of time in the pastoral epistles that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing how a pastor should conduct himself, how a pastor should live, how the ministry of God should be done. The Apostle Paul, who wrote that, also gave this instruction, and I can say I certainly can understand maybe a very small level what Paul was talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 14 and 15. Paul says, "And I will not be burdensome to you," he's speaking to the church of Corinth, "for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." He's talking about how the parents willingly give themselves to their children and expect nothing in return. In verse number 15, he says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." By the way, that's the ministry. That's not only being a parent, that's teaching a Sunday school class. That's working a bus route. That's being a missionary. That's being a pastor. That's working in junior church. That's the ministry. You love people and you give your best to them, and the more you give, it seems sometimes, the less you're loved back. Huh? Well, of course, you probably got perfect children that don't make you feel that way, do they? But you probably got perfect kids in your Sunday school class. You want to trade Sunday school classes? Well, it's going to get better now because Alex and Bethany are leaving, so it won't be quite so bad in my class now. There are the big troublemakers in there. And I would say this, the best advice, and I know folks expect miracles out of the pastor, and you come to the wrong one for that. And the best advice, God gave me this a long time ago, and I repeat it, the best advice I can ever give anybody, number one, make sure you're saved. Are you saved? You know you're saved? Make sure you're saved. After you get saved, get in the book. Learn to not just read the book, devour this book. Study this book. Give yourself to this book day and night. Thirdly, learn to pray. You know, when you really learned to pray and when you really learned the book is when we say to the kids often that prayer is when we talk to God and the Bible is when God talks to us. When you really begin to grow, it's when prayer becomes a two-way conversation. I'm not talking about something spooky here, all right? That's when you give yourself to the Word of God. And you're talking to God about something, and God brings the Word of God back to you and verses that you memorized and that you've meditated on. And you're having a conversation with God. First, be sure you're saved. Second, get in the book. And third, learn to pray. I got those in a different order than what I usually give them. And then fourthly, get in and stay in church. You say, well, people will hurt you. Welcome to the club, man. Look what we did to Jesus. Look what his church did to him. The first pastor of the first church, the only perfect pastor the church has ever had, any church has ever had. And look what they did to him. In his darkest hour, they all just took off, did their own thing. One of them was the devil himself. I won't even say it. I've said it before, and folks just won't get it anyways. But the next 20 years, that's 2, 4, 6. That's where I'm at. 8 years, or 20 more years. For the next 20 years, all I desire to do is just leave a little mark for God. In fact, I'd be fine if God just took me home before that, to be quite honest with you. All I desire is just leave a mark for God. I've learned that I'm nobody, and I was put here just to serve other people, and I do a terrible job of that. I can never live up to people's expectations and people's demands, that I just do what I can and leave the rest to God. For the next 20 years, I just desire to leave a mark. And to be quite honest, I really just want to go home. In Philippians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I was meditating that verse today. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of your joy and faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul, of course, writing to the church of Philippi, from Roman jail. He never did get to go back and see the brethren in Philippi. But he said, you know, I'd rather just go home to heaven right now. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to try to be an encouragement, try to be a blessing to you. The book of Philippians is the Christian book of joy, it's sometimes called. He's writing just to encourage them to keep walking with God, no matter what your trial, no matter what your tribulation, no matter how dark the world gets, no matter how difficult your life gets. Just stay in the book. Just stay in prayer. Just rejoice in your salvation. Just stay in church and be involved in the work of God. Your labor is not in vain in Him. And He was in all places in jail Himself when He wrote those letters of encouragement to the church of Philippi, who was going through great difficulty and struggles in their life, and told them just to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And all I want in this life is 20 more years, sometimes getting up in the mornings enough to getting this old carcass going. Like, God, when I make it 20 more years, I'll be fine. I'll be happy. But I don't plan on slowing down, trying to get the second wind to keep going for the Lord. I'm just going to keep going on for God as long as I can, and then hopefully just fall over one day and go into the presence of Jesus. But I just want to make a difference and see my children and grandchildren living for God. That's my prayer. I just want to see them continue to live for God. I want to see the handful of people that I've influenced for God. And I told God when He called me in the ministry, God, if I can make a difference in 3 or 4 people's lives, I maybe may have a difference in 5 or 6 by now. I don't know. I told God I'd be happy with just three or four if I can change, bring them to Christ, make a difference in their life. I want to focus on making a difference in our world and bringing more people to Jesus and bringing more people to a closer relationship with Him and world missions. The last command that Jesus gave to His disciples is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea. Most of us are content just being at home. We get so concerned about all the things in our world that we don't focus on what God is focused on. And the older I get, the more God has showed me that we need to focus on the world that God so loved. That God so loved, not just the United States of America. We get so zoomed in on that. And then I need to be focused on church planting and strengthening churches, encouraging other churches and then training others. And seeing that there'll be a couple that God is my Timothy and Titus, that God's allowed me to make a little bit of a difference in their life and more than I ever expected. And all I want to do is leave a mark for God. And by the way, that's all I've ever really wanted to do, is leave a mark for God. Only one life, how soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. The world will never understand living for God. The world will never understand living by faith. As we come to the end of another year, as we get another year older or whatever, I just want to keep going full steam until Jesus comes. Amen? And doing all I can until He comes. And I just spent some time reflecting back in God's goodness in my life and what He... You know, the interesting thing was when I got saved, I was bitter and angry at God about a number of things that were in my life that were a part of me and who I was. God, you sure messed up when you put me together, didn't you? God, you could have done this. And all of us have those things. A great preacher once said when he talks to young people, he says, if you could change anything about your life, what would you change? Every one of us has something that we'd like to change about our past or about our life. And the very fact that we have something that we want to change tells us that we're not right with God. God's the one that made you who you are. God's the one that put you in your family. God's the one that gave you your gifts, your abilities, or your inabilities, or your lack of gifts. And when you want to change them, you're trying to change who God is. You need to accept who God made you and not esteem yourself, as the world says, to be something better than what you are, but realize that I don't deserve anything. The very fact that God let me live is more than I deserve. The very fact that God saved me is far more than I deserve. And we need to come to that place that God eventually brought me to, took me a long time to learn, and I'm still not sure I completely learned it, that I'm nothing. That I'm nobody. And all I want to do is serve others and bring others to Christ. What's our goal? What's our desire in life? We get so upset and offended and bothered by things because people misunderstand, people misrepresent, people didn't take time to hear. try to be a preacher sometime. All those things that you get upset by, you can multiply them by, I don't know, 1 or 2 or 100 or 3,000. But thank God that His grace is always sufficient. And all we want to do is make a difference for God. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the heart of Ephesians chapter number 2. But God saved us by His grace to make us what we cannot make of our own. Father, we